we are speaking with Scott Ramsey, who came into his role as executive director of the New York Cider Association on March 1st, 2020, as the world, specifically the U.S., was beginning to shut down due to COVID-19. We're going to be chatting on how he came into this role, what his goals are, and how the association is helping cider in COVID time. You're listening to Cider Chat Live. I am your host, Rhea Wynn Coller, the producer and cider MC at ciderchat.com. On Cider Chat Live, it is stories in real time straight off the Cider Chat train to you. So come on along and join the fun. I'll be looking for you out there in Ciderville. Welcome to Cider Chat, Scott. It's so nice to be able to have this opportunity to speak to you. It is April 16th, 2020, and right now the world is kind of a little upside down, topsy-turvy with this coronavirus. And you came on to the New York Cider Association as the executive director right in the middle of a crisis. And I imagine that you might have seen this kind of creeping up as that, you know, show up for work date was arriving. But can you just kind of share to listeners maybe a little bit about that experience, a little bit about who you are coming into this?
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. First of all, Rhea, thank you so much for having me. This is, it's really great to talk with you. And I'm so thrilled to be in this role, even given sort of the current environment. As I've worked in marketing, I've worked in corporate communications. Actually, if you go way, way back, I actually grew up in Texas and moved to New York about 23 years ago. And growing up, I had a passion for musical theater. So that's kind of what got me into the storytelling communication space. But my first job was actually working, this is way back in Texas, was actually working for a nonprofit blood bank in community development and fundraising. And so that sort of opened up a world to me that I had never considered, but just really, really enjoyed, because I love working really hard, but I especially love working hard when I know it's actually going to make a difference in people's lives and in small business and really affecting the community. And so I've just been really fortunate throughout my career to work in a variety of different spaces. But when I saw this job posting last fall for this role, I thought, wow, you know, I was sort of at a place in my life where I was looking for something different, where I could apply my skill set, but sort of be in a space that was, you know, curious and new to me, but that also, most importantly, was going to really make, you know, make a difference and do something that would really have a very immediate grassroots impact. And subsequently, I had moved from New York City up to Beacon, New York. And so moving to Beacon, New York was a completely eye-opening experience that I did not expect to have, to get out of the city and be in a community where there were so many, you know, new businesses, you know, young entrepreneurial businesses and restaurants, and certainly craft beverage with, you know, there's distilleries here, there's some breweries that are here. The fact that I wanted to do something that was going to have a more direct impact on the community, but also, you know, not only in the Hudson Valley, but just across the entire state, as opposed to being so focused on New York City. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I saw the job description and was really attracted to it, because I thought, this is a really exciting space. You know, and not for nothing, I've been an enthusiast for cider for years. This is such an exciting time for cider. From my perspective, it, of course, you know, there's this beautiful history, but it really seems to now be poised to start to really kind of blossom in a really exciting and new way that maybe we haven't necessarily seen before. So, you know, to be a part of that is extremely thrilling to me. That led me to March 1st. And, you know, day one, we had, you know, the Northeastern Cider Conference was planned so incredibly well. We were very excited about that. That was going to happen on March 24th. One of my first, you know, big challenges was talking with that team that had done such a good job and was so invested in pulling this off to be this hugely successful event, and really starting to think about, do we need to postpone it, or what are strategies we can put in place to make sure everybody is safe and we're all staying healthy? And the 1st of March, we thought, okay, maybe we'll just provide hand sanitizer to everybody and that will be fine, you know, or how far out can we postpone this? Or do we push it a month or, you know, a week or six? We didn't know. And every day there was new information coming. And so, you know, we actually had to make the call. I think it was within that first week of March to flat out just postpone it. And that was really before any sort of, you know, stay at home orders were put in place, but we knew, I think, and it was really obvious to everybody that that was just going to be the way it was going to unfold.
You mentioned that you're from Beacon. So that is the Hudson Valley.
That is.
So it's kind of outside of the city, New York City.
It is.
Not too far away. You had been living in that area and then kind of catapulted into this role on March 1st, which is like you keep on saying it, like it seems years ago.
Doesn't it? I know.
It's just weeks. And up to that point, there was a whole team of people working on the Northeastern Cider Conference that was supposed to take place in March 24th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to the 26th. Even I was going to be speaking about tourism and how to kind of help that out for cideries. So, So you came in on this. Were you getting a sense as, you know, March 1st is rolling around? You know, because that's kind of like the whole thing. Like, what did we see coming? Was there any like buzz around in just your circle and communications for the fact that this virus might not be like anything we've ever seen before?
There absolutely was. I mean, there, you know, it's so hard to think back to that time and sort of clarify where were we at any specific moment. Mm-hmm. But we were absolutely thinking at that point that, you know, this was going to have a really huge impact. And we were, of course, seeing everything that was coming, you know, not only from China back in December, but now, you know, at that time, everything was really accelerated and exacerbated in Italy and the UK. Mm-hmm. If you think back to those days. So I think, you know, in retrospect, it was no, you know, there was no leap of faith in trying to make those decisions. Like there was a lot of clarity, but in the moment, you know, we still just weren't sure. And you know, like I said, there was this amazing team of people that had done so much work for over a year to put this conference together. So we took that decision very, very seriously. And as you can imagine, it took, you know, it took days to figure out the right approach. Should we make the call or not, you know? And I mean, I'm certainly glad we did because, you know, even if we hadn't, we would not have been able to hold it at the end of the day. But mm-hmm. we absolutely did the right thing, which was nice. And, you know, I mean, this is a little bit tangential, but the one thing that has attracted me to this community from the day I, you know, first got the call to start the interview process, everybody I've met along the way, the hiring committee, the board, you know, everybody I've met since I've been in the role has just been so incredibly supportive and so incredibly, incredibly collaborative. So I share that with you just to say that in the decision-making process of what to do about that conference, although it was heartbreaking, it was a truly collaborative decision amongst, you know, everybody who had been deeply involved. And, you know, the hopeful piece is that we're so excited. We haven't made it official yet. And we will very soon. I'm just nailing down sort of the contracts and the budget and everything for when we do postpone it, but we are going to hold it and we are going to be able to utilize a lot of that work that was put into it, for when we actually do hold it. So we're excited to be making that announcement soon about when those dates are. And, you know, so that's the hopeful piece to me. And it, mm-hmm. the silver lining is it just gives us a little bit more time to, you know, continue to attract people to the conference and build up some of the programming because there was already so much amazing work done. So I'm really looking forward to being able to actually have the conference.
Yeah, I like the fact that it's postponed versus mm-hmm. canceled. And that does give us a something to look forward to, no doubt. And for those who don't know, this conference was set to be taking place in Albany, which is the capital of New York, mm-hmm. which is where Governor Cuomo is based. And New York has really set a very big national presence with the virus and certainly the response to the virus. And the governor is kind of like the really showing the leadership there. And mm-hmm. so I imagine that the next step would be to look at continuing this conference in Albany. Is that true? Is that what we're going to be looking forward to?
Yes, that's absolutely true. All right. That is absolutely correct.
Wonderful. I'd like to get back to the piece where you were talking about communication and your background, because for Cider, and I imagine as you were kind of stepping in and pondering whether to take on this role, from my perspective, a big piece for the cider industry is creating the narrative. And there's a lot of different stories out there. And sometimes everybody's on the same page. Sometimes folks are, you know, still searching and trying to really define that. What do you see for New York in terms of the future for cider and that particular story?
It's such an amazing question, you know, especially in this very moment, right, that we're dealing with. And what I mean by that is, you know, first of all, how do we even look forward, right? And so I'm going to get a little bit off track here, but I'll bring it back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you think about, you know, I think about as wanting to, you know, lead this association and be in support, again, of our members and our board and how we want to sort of support the cider industry in New York. You know, I've been talking to other colleagues who are also, you know, EDs of other associations. And it's a really tricky time because it's really hard to know what we can do in the long term, to support and to be, you know, to do what an association is meant to do, right? Because I don't even think we're at a place where the dust has truly started to settle. You know, when you look for ways to try to be a resource to people, it's difficult to know for the long term, for long range planning and strategic planning, like what do those resources need to be? And so that takes me back to sort of that storytelling piece and that narrative piece. You know, if none of this had happened, there has been so much great work. Another thing that really attracted me to this association was that, you know, so much great work has been done around, you know, the dryness scale that you're familiar with. Mm-hmm. And there's a New York cider mark that has been, that, you know, spent a lot of time, you know, thinking about to promote, you know, the use of New York apples in New York cider. And so there's a lot of storytelling that, you know, those elements are there. And now I think it's just a matter as far as, you know, specific tactical elements that the association is sort of looking to provide and to sort of amplify, you know, the amazingness of the New York apple and New York cider. Those things are there. It's just a matter of starting to build out some storytelling and some narrative around those pieces. You know, I think there's just a really exciting opportunity for cider going forward, because I think there's whole new demographics of people who, you know, if they just were more exposed to it or just had more access to it, would really be excited by it. And especially in the sustainability space and the local space, which has become so incredibly relevant, again, just in the last few days, right? Like last few weeks. I mean, we're literally looking at such a finite amount of time that will have such a huge, you know, reach of an impact. So I don't know if I'm answering your question, but those are the kinds of things that are sort of rolling around in my head. And we are just now at a place where I feel like we can, you know, start to sort of think strategically forward about what does that narrative look like? And, you know, how do we expand our reach and sort of, you know, continue to empower the work that we do in a really bigger and more amazing way. But it's hard to say today what those needs really are, you know, and I think we'll get more and more clarity along the way, but, yeah, it's just, it's a really interesting time to do strategic planning.
Yeah, I hear that. And I think you did answer that question. You're trying to broaden the narrative than just online sales, which
absolutely.
Is right now for not only New York, but makers around the world. It's all about getting online so you could get your product to the consumers. And there's also cider makers in New York and other regions that I know who are also using the farmers market to set up that way and also going direct to a curbside pickup. But one thing I know about cider makers and cider drinkers is we like to raise a glass together. And so that,
yes.
that, you know, besides having like a online video conference, which, you know, could be fun, but up to a point, we want to come back together. So in the meanwhile, the narrative has to be bigger than just online sales and product delivery. It has to be a little bit more broader to the story of how we're all interconnected and that sustainability piece. And that is that farm to table is so critical right now.
Yes, I absolutely agree with you. I mean, I'm a huge, huge believer in the power of connection and the necessity for it. And so, you know, that's something that excites me as well about this industry and the folks in it, that I have not been disappointed by. You know, they're, like I said, there's just such a strong sense of community. And so although we are thinking of ways to still maintain some sort of presence and relevance by utilizing, you know, online tools and platforms, you know, we are thinking about, you know, where are there possibilities? If it's, you know, if it's an orchard tour later in the summer, is that going to be remotely possible if we can keep our social distancing? And, you know, I don't know. Again, it's sort of, it's one of those things where every day there is, you know, some sort of new piece of information or some sort of new directive comes out from, you know, from Governor Cuomo and his office. And, you know, we're staying very closely in touch with that to see what's possible.
Mm-hmm. So what is your focus on right now, besides the fact that, yeah, every day or sometimes every hour, something's changing both from the state level and the federal level?
Sure.
What is the New York Cider Association working on? And it might be broader than just in reflection to the virus.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, there are there's some logistical things that obviously we want to continue the planning for the Northeastern Cider Conference. And so that's taking some time and some thinking and some strategic, you know, planning around that and how we make that happen and how, you know, we've been really, really amazed at, you know, so many people have been able to maintain their registration. We certainly offered a refund, but people have really held on. Our sponsors have stayed really close to us. And, you know, there was not any sort of, you know, quick jumping off the ship, which I was just really impressed by. So we want to try to honor that and be respectful of that. And we're thinking, you know, creatively about ways to do that between now and when we actually get to hold the conference. So that's one piece. We also have Cider Weeks coming up. So, you know, our Hudson Valley Cider Week is in June. So, you know, that is going to be right around the corner. And so we're trying to think strategically about, again, you know, providing that opportunity for the community to come together in some fashion, and supporting our businesses and the makers and the growers and really, you know, getting the word out, you know, achieving all the mission of what Cider Weeks are meant to do, but in this current environment, and what does that look like? And I think that's where we'll see, you know, for at least Hudson Valley, we'll definitely see a really strong online presence in that. And that's more information that will be coming out soon as well, mm-hmm. that we'll be announcing fairly soon. And, you know, like that's exciting to me because I think if we take this opportunity to really build out a layer of that online presence, and, you know, if you think about that, Rhea, that expands our audience like mm-hmm. exponentially, which is super exciting to me. And so if we just see this as an opportunity to perhaps take this round and build that online presence out, then next year when we all get to come together in a really amazing way, we'll have that piece of it there, you know? So I'm excited about what that might look like. We're thinking through that literally as we speak. And then, you know, we have stayed really closely involved with the governor's office and the folks at the New York State Liquor Authority have been amazing partners. The agriculture and markets folk have been just incredible, you know, partners in this as well. You know, we're trying to continually stay in touch around sort of some of the guidance. And, you know, I don't know how much you know about New York State, but we worked really closely with the State Liquor Authority and the governor's office to relax some of the direct shipment issues that cideries face in New York State during this time period, so that they had more opportunities and more channels for revenue streams. So, you know, again, who knows how those executive orders will need to start to be rescinded once things start to level out a bit. But as they do, we will continue to stay very closely in touch with that to make sure that our, you know, our cideries and the folks in the state that are selling cider have, you know, as much access to revenue as possible. Because I think we all pretty much would agree that there's not going to be a switch that's going to turn on and everything's just going to go right back to the way it was. Right. So, you know, that's where we're spending a lot of our time as well. What do we want to be doing in 6 months or a year, 3 years, 5 years, and starting to think about those sort of things too. But, you know, those are a little bit murkier to think about in this environment, which we've talked quite a bit about.
Well, this is a totally new frontier for everyone, which is
everybody,
kind of,
right?
You know, it makes you feel kind of good knowing that. But
right.
With that, it's, you know, back again, it's a new frontier. So how to move forward is kind of like, there's no other model to dial back to and say, oh, that's how you could do it.
Exactly.
Other than going back to what you stated initially and what you're bringing to the table, which is communication.
Excellent. Yes, I agree. And, you know, the one thing I would say, too, is sort of what you mentioned a minute ago was this is a new frontier, right? And I think one thing that really excites me about that is, you know, who knows what might be possible? And I'm excited to keep those conversations going to see what people are doing or to hear how things are changing or adjusting or adapting. Because, you know, I have to believe that there will be some really innovative, different, exciting things that will come out of this. And, you know, as long as we all keep sort of talking and seeing what's happening and staying engaged, I think I'm thrilled to see what might come up, what might happen.
Right. Yeah. It opens up possibilities that we didn't see before. It's like the guy who saw burdock, which is, you know, grows everywhere and gets on your dog's fur and mm-hmm. take it home. He was the same person who, or he is a person who then said, oh, burdock, I can make Velcro and patent it. And that's why we have Velcro. And, you know,
exactly.
Just seeing the opportunity. So let's all look for the burdock out there.
Yes. Agreed. And what is it? Necessity is the mother of invention or something like that. So
yeah, crazy as it is. All right. Well, thank you. I so appreciate this update and, you know, a lot of warm love to New York State and everybody out there.
Likewise.
And what you're doing. It's yeah. really something. Thank you to Scott Ramsey, the Executive Director of the New York Cider Association. I recommend that you do go to their website to find tools and resources that could help you not only if you are a U.S. cider maker based in New York, but also worldwide. Because like all associations, there's always some great resources that can be hopefully used for your own area so that we could all keep our glasses filled, which in the end is one of the goals, along with enjoying life. And that is what I always wish for you, Ciderville, to enjoy life with you and your loved ones, wherever you may be. Want more of Cider Chat? Go to ciderchat.com, where you will find over 200 archived podcast episodes with makers, cider enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world. This is Rhea Windcaller signing off for now. Looking forward to seeing you in Ciderville.